right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
Economy.
You know, people do that. Well, before that, I actually did calculate exactly how much we owe you, Aaron. I'm still working on it, but there is a physical way to calculate how many episodes you have been on over episodes overall, and then turn that into a percentage of Patreon money, which will increase as you continue to be on episodes. So that's the incentive for you to continue participating.
Oh, so you're incentivizing me to provide more content?
Right. You get
do
paid.
Do so at your own peril.
Yeah, you're right, because then I got to moderate it. You get paid like an increasing percentage every episode you put in until you reach 33%, at which point you've matched with us. So that's pretty excellent.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's math. Math is really good for stuff.
Wow.
Like
so I guess you could say I'm the most exploited member of the timeline.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Correct.
Huh.
That was where this all was supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. I'm going to give myself a moment of silence while I pass the document over to you, too, so I can see it in the machine. The hell? Never mind. No document. Oh, yes. Yeah. Don't make any noises. The more noises you make, the bigger trouble we're in. Viewer? I'm going to let you guys be viewers today, okay? You'll be viewers.
Oh, we can't
editors.
Edit it?
What are you going to edit?
Oh.
I saw what you did last time.
The end key on my keyboard was just looking at me.
And then
I'm gonna take that end key away.
Yeah.
That's the only one missing.
Take that
standard
away from you.
Take the N, the I, the G, the E, and the R.
He's just running around the timeline yelling, Gah, Gah!
Golly.
All right. Here's our documentation, gentlemen. Welcome to the timeline. I was about to call us Friends Against Government. Welcome in to new TLE classic, old TLE, which hasn't happened yet in the chronology of us recording, but in a different timeline that has already happened. I've brought some interesting things for you today.
And it's definitely behind a paywall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Always, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have to also do most surprising fact about Bird R. Kissed, I think is literally yes, that is exactly how he wrote it. So, Carr, if you'll do the honor of introducing the poll here. I don't want to have to introduce my own poll. That's pretty lame, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be pretty lame?
It would be pretty lame.
Yeah.
For sure. So in our ongoing series of most or least surprising facts about one or all of the TLE hosts and semi-hosts, we kicked it off with me last 2 weeks ago, and now we have a poll describing the most surprising fact about Bird. And there were four different options you could have picked. I know which one I picked just because I know all facts about Bird. I know Bird inside and out.
We're very open
so
with one
speak.
Another. Yes,
and so I'm curious to. Do you have the poll pulled up?
I've got it. I sent it to your Twitter.
Okay.
And it's also in the Zencaster chat. I guess we'll go from least to most surprising.
Yep. So least surprising fact about Bird is avowed pansexual.
Avowed.
That,
avowed. Yeah. Yeah.
People
I'm
found
very
that
avowed.
Not terribly surprising.
Unapologetically.
Yeah, I'm unapologetically.
He unapologetically wants to fuck everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they asked me the other day, what is the difference between pan and bi? And I shrugged and I said, I'm pan.
Yes.
And that's all that I had to say.
Everything beyond that.
I don't know what it means.
No.
But it doesn't matter because it's me.
Can I just point something out?
Sure.
Yeah.
That the least surprising fact is that you're pansexual and the.
Correct.
The second most surprising fact of my poll is that I'm bisexual.
That was, I thought, oh yes, that was the second most surprising fact for you. Yes, and there was at least two comments suggesting that the two of us, you know, hook up. So we might have like fan art in the future, like Rule 34 type stuff for us.
Hanging on
Yeah.
You know, when people start to make cartoon pornography of you, that's how you know you've made it.
Yeah. Not when you've retired off of the Patreon funding. It's when you have pornographic art being made and mailed.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you have pornographic art being made, those same people will pay you money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of furry do you think we'd be?
Oh, good question, Aaron. I am a beaver.
Oh, damn.
Huh. All right, moving right along.
That's a very feminine animal.
A beaver? That's not true.
Most surprising fact about Bird, other than being an avowed pansexual, which, mind you, was below 10%. I don't know what the margin of error is on this poll.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it nearly rounds down. People were not terribly surprised about that. Now, this,
not at all.
50% more surprising at 15.1% was that you minored in women's studies. We all know that, obviously.
That's
that
right. I did minor in women. Shouldn't be surprising to anybody. I talk about women's studies all the time. Half of this podcast is me getting on my soapbox about how much I am a crusader for the rights for all women around the world. So that's not surprising at all to me.
It's like, even less surprising is that's one of your more useful degrees.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, I've gotten a lot of use out of that. There was one time when I was doing what people who get women's studies degrees do, and a woman walked up to me and she said, "Thank you for doing this." And I said, "You're welcome."
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow. You got thanked for your service.
I was thanked for my service towards all women. So,
Was there... Yep. Well, I was going to ask, was there any sexual tomfoolery after that? But of course, there would not.
No, I'm pansexual. I don't have sex with women. Right. So
you have Liberace and Gloria Steinem posters on your wall.
Correct. Correct. And the top, when I go to bed, I look up at Gloria and I say, "Thank you, Gloria, for blessing me with all of the things that you've blessed me with. You are my idol. And if you didn't exist, I would hardly be the person I am today." I say that every night.
I do hear that often when I'm dozing off.
When me and you are on Discord calls at night and I'm dozing off as my sleepy head, and then I talk.
And then that's when I know it's time for me to end the call and go my way.
Right.
34%. 34%. Number three, the third most surprising fact about Bird R. Kissed, Arby's Junior franchisee.
Junior only. You know, I'm not a senior franchisee.
Very industrious.
But right. I love my section in my store. You know,
You take pride in it.
Yeah. I'm the guy who runs the jalapeno popper rig.
And you bring them home to us, you know, here and there. Yeah.
Occasionally. It's really the only reason why we manage to eat because all we do is spend our money on crack and ketamine. Well,
80 to 90% of my diet is jalapeno poppers. It's very
which is fine. Think about it this way. Jalapeno, vegetable. Popper, cheese. What else does a person need to survive? Probably fruit. And
it's the two.
See, Aaron's already here.
It's the two pillars of the food lean-to.
Right.
I really like when you bring home the extra.
We revised it from the pyramid.
The extra roast beef gelatin.
Oh, right. Yeah. And the Arby's sauce, which is a strange mixture of like Szechuan, ketchup, and like probably jism. It's good stuff.
High in protein.
Now,
waitress, let me get another coffee, please.
Thank you.
Oof,
did we go to an Arby's or do we go to a Denny's?
Well, I'm actually yelling out the window.
Yeah. So. To nobody in particular in our house. Yeah. We're in the studio.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like kind of push this along because you know, my junior franchisee thing, I don't like to be mocked for. I'm very proud of my job. Yeah.
So, most surprising fact about Bird R.
When you hit the pipe.
Bird R. Kissed is at 41.3%. Now, this was my vote.
Correct.
Not because I didn't know it, but
and Aaron,
it
what
was
your vote, Aaron? What was your vote, Aaron?
My vote?
Yeah, what
that
were you most surprised
in women's
by?
Studies.
Okay. Well, that's, you're really discounting me there. I'm sorry, Carr, for interrupting. Please continue.
Sure. This one I was saying that I actually voted for, not because I didn't know it. Obviously, I know this for a fact. but because it was the most surprising thing when I found it out. And so I felt in keeping with the spirit of the poll, I would answer this. Now, 41.3% voted correctly. Won't get high near dogs.
I won't get high around dogs, Carr.
At all. Not when you know that they're there. Not when you know
that
they're there.
Yeah, I will not get high around a dog that knows that I'm getting high. That's right.
Right. It's like a, it's a perception issue. It's not a presence issue. It's a perception issue. Now, if that dog
because
does not.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. If they don't know that you're getting high, they can be around. And I, and this is something that I have to play, you know, in our relationship quite often is I have to play kind of that back and forth, a moderator between any dogs that we're bringing around. There are plenty of them in the alley behind the studio.
Yeah, you do that noise. You touch their cheeks
then,
while I'm.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, really
and then,
going
and,
for it.
And then we can work from there, and that's that dynamic, and that's what makes
people ask me why. Why don't you get high around dogs? And I will throw this to you. Would you get high around a baby if he knew you were getting high? The answer is no, of course you wouldn't, because you're not a monster. You're a good listener to this show. Well, guess what? Dogs, they're like babies to me. They're like babies. You got to take care of them.
Wow.
And you can't expose them to
women's liberation and animal rights.
Yeah.
And animal rights.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking
really
for more of a Marxist-Leninist than you. That's right.
We're all moving up and left, baby.
That's
moving
correct.
On up. We're moving on up.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
The Jeffersons.
Yeah, to me, the dog is one of the single most precious creatures that man has ever had a hand in creating. And I refuse to be part of its degradation like we've let everything else in our societies degrade, which I talk about in my thesis for my women's studies paper about how women have really they've been getting the short end of the stick in modernity, really. So it's the long end of the stick being held by the dog. Just all of these things together make me who I am. A junior Arby's franchisee with a degree in women's studies who will not get high around dogs. And loves everybody.
Yep. Really, really
do
good
some news?
Stuff. So that poll was, we'll do some more polls in the future.
Wait, what are we doing? A joke that people will not get unless they are listening to the Patreon? Let's just move on. Let's just move forward. Let's just keep moving. Let's just move on.
Oh, God. Okay, moving
right.
on.
I had I hope that my mic is correct here. It should be.
Sounds good.
Let me ask if you can hear Bill de Blasio's voice here.
I got vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to turn that off. As you heard, Billy William de Blasio. Actually, Carr, what's his real name? We looked this up once. His name is like Wilhelm Gertenharder or something like that. Look that up. Bill de Blasio.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, his name is like Wilhelm Gertenharder or something ridiculous. He's German. He's not even, he's like Italian by like one quarter on his mom's side or something like that or something crazy. Anyway, while you look that up and give us an answer when the clip ends, I'm going to play the entire clip because, we're getting back to normal here. We're reaching herd immunity because a lot of people are wanting to get vaccinated, getting vaccinated. 60% were nearly at the time of recording on this very Wednesday, which if you listen to the Israeli government, who says that's basically herd immunity, we haven't seen an increase in cases, which they're our friends, right? So we listen to them, I guess, and so we're nearly there. Let's listen to the clip. You may want to mute yourselves.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? The delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this. Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger? No. This could be breakfast. Okay. I want you to look at this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination. Vaccination. I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination right this moment.
Wow. Whoa. Bill de Blasio, the first agorist mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fat de Blasio.
Fat de Blasio. Holy shit. I'm getting this burger.
Before we dive in, because there's a lot to be said here, his name is Warren de, and then this is hyphenated, Blasio Wilhelm.
Warren de Blasio. So his name is Warren Wilhelm.
Blasio Wilhelm. It's hyphenated.
De Blasio. Well.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. I'm sorry. He later hyphenated. Why did he later hyphenate it? He was born. He was born Warren Wilhelm Jr.
Warren Wilhelm Jr.
He's a trans Italian. Yeah.
Well, and as a guy who also has a German name who is a trans Italian, I don't want to knock him for that, but the story's ridiculous from what I understand. Something like he just like preferred the name, like that was his only reason, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, it's not his real name, Bill de Blasio. His real name is Wilhelm. Everybody should refer to him that way. Why? Because you dead name politicians. That's what you do. That's what you do. Dead naming politicians is always good. I don't care who they are, and I'm standing on that. All right, you hungry? You guys hungry?
Yeah, sure am.
I'm all.
We're getting hungry. We're getting to the point here where, like, the insanity of government, like, it's like the snake has eaten its own tail, but we've also stepped out of the loop. Like, we're just watching them embarrass themselves at this point.
When you get a vaccine, just think about a burger. Like, I wish that worked for war, right? Like, when we tell the government, you want to go to war? Just think about a burger. Right.
It's crazy to me, dude. Like, I mean, a lot of the country has just illegalized. Like, I mean, I get the fact of, like, one smaller government going against a bigger government. I understand all of that. But, like, as it stands, like, Texas has illegalized all of this stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, well, I'm just watching this idiot.
Delegalized, right? Delegalized, probably? Because wasn't it a mandate and then they ripped it up? Or they made it illegal to ask?
They made it illegal to ask. They made it illegal mandate permits or vaccines. And they've illegalized any public forum forcing people to wear masks. I mean, Texas and Florida have just basically,
Bilderberg's gonna
like,
be lit.
Yeah, illegalized, like, all of this stuff, like vaccine passes and all that crap. And so it's just weird. I thought that the federal government was going to take their foot off the gas, realizing that they didn't have the social or political capital to do this. But they're leaning in, and it just looks insane. It looks dumb.
Well, I'll give you some hope then, because
that
was recorded. So, all right, well, maybe not hope, because you and I have seen this probably dozens of times already. Like, Krispy Kreme did it, McDonald's was doing it, Taco Bell did it, all of them are doing it. And I'm not really, I mean, okay, so the first most obvious point to go is it is very funny that the second major risk factor, third if you count multiple comorbidities as a risk factor in itself, third, first one's age, second one is weight.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's all insane. It's just insane.
It's just totally. Modern medicine is not preventative in any form. It's kind of just patchwork, it seems like. Here, cover that hole so that you can keep killing yourself with this. And then when your heart attack shows up, you know, by the way, heart disease is what, number two killer in the country?
Probably.
Which, by the way, number three is medical malpractice.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah, I won't talk about that one. But of course, so it's just very interesting how, you know, the obesity epidemic, I remember that being a term, but it's funny how there was stop being an obesity epidemic when there was a coronavirus epidemic.
When they all died of coronavirus.
Those two things fucking work hand in motherfucking hand better than you can imagine. In fact, coronavirus and weight work better together to kill you than any other two government agencies could.
Take
any government agency possible, and two of them working together couldn't kill you as quickly as coronavirus and you being 450 pounds and maybe 60 at the same time. So, that's where we're at. But I will give you some hope, because there is an exchange. This is a much, I need about 9 minutes here. These are all Gov videos, but this is an incredible exchange. Thank you to Tom. I want to get it right. Tom Elliott. Yeah. Tom Elliott has been following Rand Paul and specifically Rand Paul's clashing with Fauci.
Yeah.
And it's excellent stuff. Let me just make sure that I mark it down so that I know that I covered it on our little document here. He has been just going completely nuts against Fauci. And though I don't think any of us are avowed fans of Rand Paul, I think he's excellent here. So this is the first exchange that I want to point you to. So we'll go back to March when Fauci was called in. He's been called in several times. He was called into a Senate committee hearing over. They asked him to come in to discuss a couple of coronavirus topics, and specifically Rand Paul wanted to ask him, well, if you are vaccinated, why are you still wearing a mask? That was the basic concept here. So this is from March.
Dr. Fauci, in a recent British study, David Wiley and others found that no symptomatic reinfections from COVID-19 after following 2,800 patients for several months. In fact, there have been no reports of significant numbers of reinfections after acquiring COVID-19 naturally. Shane Crotty, a virologist at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, concludes from his experiments that the amount of immune memory gained from natural infection would likely prevent the vast majority of people from getting hospitalized disease, severe disease for many years. In this study, which was published in Science, Dr. Crotty showed that antibody levels stayed relatively constant with only modest declines over 6 to 8 months. Dr. Crotty reported that notably, memory B cells specific for the spike protein or RBD were detected in almost all COVID-19 cases with no apparent half-life at 5 to 8 months after infection. In other words, Dr. Crotty found significant evidence of long-term immunity after COVID infection. Furthermore, Dr. Crotty noted B cell memory to some other infections has been observed for as long as 60 plus years after smallpox vaccination, or even 90 years after natural infection with influenza. That was a woman who got the Spanish flu, still showed immunity 90 years later. So rather than being pessimistic towards people gaining immunity after they've had COVID or had a vaccine, studies argue for significant optimism. In fact, there have been no scientific studies arguing or proving that infection with COVID does not create immunity. There have been no studies showing significant numbers of reinfections. Of the 30 million Americans who have had COVID, only a handful of reinfections have been discovered. In fact, the New York Times reported last fall more than 38 million people at the time worldwide had been infected with the coronavirus, and as of that date, fewer than 5 of these cases had been confirmed by scientists to be reinfections. Scientists interviewed for the article concluded, in most cases, a second bout with the virus produced milder symptoms or none at all. Given that no scientific studies have shown significant numbers of reinfections of patients previously infected or previously vaccinated, what specific studies do you cite to argue that the public should be wearing masks well into 2022?
I'm not sure I understand the connection of what you're saying about masks and reinfection. We're talking about people who have never been infected before.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You had the vaccine and you're wearing 2 masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and Sette look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are no studies that show
Let me finish the response to your question, if you please. The other thing is that when you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in the concept of variants, that's an entirely different ball game. That's a good reason for a mask. In the South African study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the variant in South Africa, the 351, it was as if they had never been infected before. They had no protection. So when you talk about reinfection, you've got to make sure you're talking about wild type. I agree with you that you very likely would have protection from wild type for at least 6 months. if you're infected. But we in our country now have variants that are circulating.
Significant reinfection. What study shows significant reinfection, hospitalization, and death after either natural infection or the vaccine? It doesn't exist. There is no evidence that there are significant reinfections after vaccine. In fact, I don't think we have a hospitalization in the United States after the two-week period after the second vaccination. We don't have a death in the United States.
You're not hearing what I'm saying about variants. We're talking about wild type versus variants.
Okay, so that's clip one. This keeps going because this is a whole story, right? So what did you get from that? You should have, probably one of the things you picked up on was Fauci insists that the variants are not covered underneath the studies that Rand is citing. Rand is saying, whatever you're saying to that, point to a single study that shows that those variants actually have a significant amount of people being reinfected after vaccination. And in fact, there isn't a single study that you can point to that shows that any of those people who were reinfected were hospitalized.
Right.
That is the first thing you need to understand as to what the two points that they're making are. They're kind of slightly addressing one another. Rand seems to have the last word on that because the exchange tails off into a different conversation after this. But there's more. So here's what happens on May 27th of 2020, long time ago, so that we can go right to the very beginning of this and we can see exactly what his opinion on masks was from the very beginning.
Do you think when folks, members of the public are being asked to do this and they look at folks like you doing it, does that encourage its use to a positive degree?
No, it does, Jim. And I mean, I wear it for the reason that I believe it is effective. It is, it's not 100% effective. I mean, it's sort of respect for another person and have that other person respect you. You wear a mask, they wear a mask, you protect each other. I mean, I do it when I'm in the public for the reasons that A, I want to protect myself and protect others, and also because I want to make it be a symbol for people to see that that's the kind of thing you should be doing.
Okay, so that's clip two. That was Fauci basically at the headway of this in early June, late May. He had two things to say, two points to make. Number one is a scientific point, which is masks work. They are effective enough to prevent spread. We can get to that. The second one is Fauci's personal opinion. It is respectful to wear a mask. Now, that opinion only buttresses on whether or not wearing a mask can get people killed. So that second point only works if the mask is effective. Let's keep going. Now, here is a conversation that was had on March 19th, a day after that exchange between Rand and Fauci.
Now, I know that Rand Paul is a doctor, but he's an eye doctor. But at the same time, do you think he believes what he was saying to you today, that with vaccines, there's 0% chance that you need to wear a mask, 0% chance you get sick, that if you've had it already, there's 0% chance that you need any mask or anything like that? You think he believes it?
You know, Chris, I don't know what he believes, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been dealing, this is not the first time that we've clashed at a Senate hearing. You know, there is always, as is always the case, a kernel of truth in what he says about that there is protection to some extent after you get infected. There's no doubt about that. He completely does not take into account the variants. He quotes literature, which is selective in how he quotes it. There's a paper that came out literally yesterday in Lancet that showed that, yes, there was considerable protection against reinfection in general, but in people who are elderly, 65 years of age or older, they were very vulnerable to reinfection. And that's the reason why. So I'm afraid if people hear what he says and believe it, and you have an elderly person who's been infected and they decide, well, Rand Paul says, let's not wear a mask, they won't, they could get reinfected again and to get into trouble. So that's the thing that bothers me about that type of an interchange.
Okay. So Fauci responds same day, not next day. Fauci says to brother of Chris Cuomo, whose name I can't remember, so I will call him Fredo Cuomo. He says to Fredo, I'm annoyed that he keeps moving away from the variants thing. And there was a study that was just released, which supported the idea that, yes, while most people after getting the vaccine did not get reinfected, people over 60 still showed significant risk in getting infected. A very odd query to make is, well, then I wonder whether or not the vaccine was necessary in the first place, considering every risk category already covered is being covered by the vaccine. Interesting. Huh. And very interesting. If you got it when you were in your 30s, the chances of you getting a significant infection are quite low. We knew this. So see, now they're quite low because of a vaccine.
It's just insane watching a, you know, a nominal libertarian engage in an empirical argument against a avowed technocrat who's countering with an a priori argument. Like,
dude,
no, you're not a
count. A really good summary of all this is it is the opposite of what you should be expecting, right?
I know.
It's so fucking
Rand
weird,
Paul
dude.
Saying, show me the evidence, show me the statistics, show me the historical precedent. And Fauci's saying, no, this is what could happen because common sense, because, this is like theoretically what should happen.
Right. Like, so, and I want to state
just insane.
What all Fauci has right now. And I'm not saying that this gets debunked or anything. All Fauci has right now is a statement that whether or not a person is vaccinated over the age of 60, they are still potentially at risk for reinfection. And I want everyone to understand that was the problem with coronavirus to begin with. It was always about people over 60. It is still about people over 60, vaccine or not.
Mm-hmm.
That just needs to be understood. Now, let's let Rand have his say on Fox News.
Listen. You know, set that up for the audience at home. What happened?
So we've had 90 million vaccines in our country. About 40 to 50 million people have been vaccinated. We've got another 30 million people who have gotten the disease naturally, like I have. And the question is, do they have immunity? But we've always believed that. That's the science of vaccines, is that when you get an infection or you get the vaccination, you develop immunity. And yet he's keeps moving the goalposts and saying, well, you might get this variant from South Africa. And my point to him is, show us the evidence. Show us the scientific evidence that people who have already had COVID or people who have already had the vaccine are getting it again. If they're getting it in large numbers and they're getting ill and going to the hospital and dying, we should know that. But it's not true. It's his conjecture. He says, we might get it. Therefore, we need to wear the mask for another year.
Yeah.
This is equivalent of saying, well, we might get the Spanish flu, so maybe we should wear the mask until the Spanish flu comes back. It's a ridiculous notion, not based on science. And what he is doing is theater, and it goes against the science of vaccines. Dr. Fauci has immunity. He can't get it again, but he's wearing a mask because it's one of his noble lies to convince everybody to wear masks, but it's not true. If you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask.
So that's really your message, is once you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask around other people who've also been vaccinated, which is a great sales pitch for everybody getting the shot.
Right, exactly. I'm not against the vaccine.
Okay, so there's Rand's full defense of what he's saying. So now we clear that up even further. What Rand is seeing in Fauci's argument is that there's just not enough evidence to suggest that even though someone might, they will. Which is fair, because this is, again, the whole conversation the whole time has been about mites or wills. Whole time. Now, that all of this happened basically in the span of one day. 2 days, even. March 17th to 19th. Again, it's all weird because this is all posted day after. March 17th to 19th, 2 to 2.5 days. Exchange, exchange, exchange. Now, the final clip comes to us today. Yesterday, from the day of recording. This is the last clip I want to show you, because this, to me, is Fauci closing his own argument.
I How has it changed what you do?
And others are not.
How has it changed what you do when you wear a mask?
Excuse me,
how has it changed what you do? How has it changed your mask wearing practices?
Well, you know, George, I'm obviously careful because, I mean, I'm a physician and a healthcare provider. I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals. But being a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low. And that's the reason why in indoor settings now, I feel comfortable about not wearing a mask because I'm fully vaccinated.
Finally,
well, there you go, guys.
Huh. There's a lot to unpack there, actually, with that one.
Oh, yeah. So let's take the most, to me, the most interesting sentence. I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals, but because I'm a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting are extremely low. How old is Dr. Fauci?
Oh, I don't know.
70, over 60, 65. Right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals, so I lied to the public until it was confirmed by the CDC.
Breaking news, lizard.
Do you want me to play it again, Cart, so you can bubble on it and
Yeah.
You want me to play that little one again? Okay.
Yep.
Let's all hear that one again, the whole thing.
And others are not.
How has it changed what you do when you wear a mask?
Excuse me,
how has it changed what you do? How has it changed your mask wearing practices?
Well, you know, George, I'm obviously careful because, I mean, I'm a physician and a healthcare provider. I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals. But being a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low. And that's the reason why in indoor settings now, I feel comfortable about not wearing a mask because I'm fully vaccinated.
Finally, I know that President Biden announced
Okay. Ruminate on that one. It's so frustrating. Doesn't that boil you?
There's one glaring problem here, and that is that getting infected in an indoor setting that he's not worried about... I mean, I'm assuming that, is he saying that I already was not wearing a mask in an outdoor setting?
I love that you just picked that up because that's what I was wondering.
Okay.
Why is outdoor conversation not being addressed here at any point? Remember, I showed you a clip from March. Outdoors was not mentioned once.
Well,
but
it's CDC's
recommendation... No, go ahead. Yeah,
It's been mentioned the entire year, basically. I mean, I don't know by exactly which sources, but that's been the entire narrative, is that things are okay outside. That's why restaurants have built outdoor
seating. Not for Fauci. Not in March for Fauci. If he's going by CDC recommendations, in March, the CDC was saying you had to wear a mask outdoors.
Look.
Oh, no, I know. I'm saying that outdoors has been always perceived as safer than indoors. That's why all the restaurants were directed to have outdoor seating in limited capacity.
Two of you need to just shut up and follow the science, all right? Mask up.
Yeah, the science.
Get the vax and follow the science.
It's truly remarkable. I mean,
we are in Brave New World, right? We're in Brave New World?
If you were to go back... Yeah, dude.
We're not there yet because we need to take like three whole steps to arrive at the fact that like this lizard person is lying to us. We're in Brave New World when we need to take like one step.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So we're just in 1984. Yeah. We haven't gotten to the full rounded. Yeah, okay, good. We haven't
Right now, like the betas and the deltas can't really tell the difference. But when they can be like, then, you know, then we're in Brave New World.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can listen to the 9 minutes of clips that I just played and come out of it going, Fauci understands what he's talking about and isn't lying to me. Like, the thing is, Fauci is a genius. Nobody can dispute this. The guy's work is incredible. None of us could do this. It's incredible amounts of study. And that's what makes it so much more pernicious. Because he said right there, he didn't want to have mixed signals. Mixed signals. Meaning, I would prefer to lie for the sake of my whole institution that I head, because that's better for my institution in the long run than it is for the American people right now. And I hate to say this, but maybe it makes me a populist. I prefer you tell us right the fuck now what's true, and you deal with your own problems and your own PR nightmare in the aftermath.
Yeah.
I prefer that you pass me that Soma vacation.
It all makes much more sense now. It all makes more sense now.
I mean, this is why I like...
I'm okay with it.
I mean, I revisit it every now and then, but this is why I more or less abandon any kind of statistical arguments about a year ago. Is because, amount of evidence that exists for anything COVID-related is so vanishingly small that it's like...
And constantly changing. And constantly changing.
I mean,
let us not
wild.
Forget that 75% of scientific studies within academia are not replicable. They have not been replicated, but they've put in peer journals. So, and by the way, again, I just want to mention again, number three cause of death in America, medical malpractice. So
yes, yeah.
So everybody knows. Yeah. The doctors don't really know what they're fucking doing to begin with.
I mean, truly, dude, it was so baffling in the early days. I kept asking one question. I don't know if you remember this, Bird, but I kept asking what question? One question. And that is, what? Go ahead. Do you remember?
No, go ahead. It has to do testing.
Yes. I kept asking, what is the denominator? And
nobody knew
what the denominator was. We were talking about infection rates. Anytime you're talking about a rate, you kind of need to know the denominator. We had no fucking clue what it was.
And what's really funny is... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, yeah.
And the amount of pushback that I was receiving, even within the libertarian community or within level-headed world community, like, it could have been a dangerous virus or it could not have been a dangerous virus at that time, but you didn't know. You didn't know, and all data kind of indicated like you had very, very good control groups, like the Princess, the cruise ship, right, which was full of older people, and it reflected pretty high infection rates and pretty low hospitalization and death rates. All the anecdotal evidence or small control group evidence indicated that this was not really all that big a deal, and people were freaking the fuck out. And I was like, I just don't understand how you're arriving at that conclusion from any rational standpoint, because you have no idea. You just don't know the denominator. And
now, the only people who knew the denominator and the deadliness of the virus were the gain of function researchers in the Wuhan facility that this escaped from, who were inspired by Dr. Fauci's work.
Perfect. That's it. That's it. Yeah,
those are the only people who knew,
and that's looking increasingly. I mean, I know that a lot of people think that you're saying that tongue in cheek. I don't think that you are. I mean, I think
they're in a ditch somewhere in the Yangtze River.
Right.
Right. They were thrown in the fucking Yangtze. Exactly. So Matt Iglesias, who I was talking about maybe offline, but Matt Iglesias is a pretty lefty, very frustrating guy. Sometimes he tweeted an absolutely ridiculous statement, but I just want to make sure that I get it right, so bear with me as I scroll my timeline, because I responded to him in exactly the way that you would think. So basically, the conversation, as you were mentioning, was everything to do with whether or not we could have guessed from the very fucking beginning if this thing escaped from a laboratory, and if it did, then we know who to hold responsible, number one, and we know who to be asking questions about the deadliness of it. That's right. That all makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So Matt Iglesias, mainstream journalist, for some reason can't find it, was basically going, because now the New York Times, right? The New York Times has moved in on this, and they're going, well, maybe it did leak from the Wuhan lab. Maybe it did, because Josh Rogan, different journalist, has been doing some pretty incredible work on that. I don't know if you watched the Joe Rogan episode with Josh Rogan on it. Great stuff. You should check that one out. But basically Matt Iglesias goes something like, oh, it's good to see, like, let us remember, they pulled up an article from, I think it was New York Times, it was a mainstreamer, really mainstream, WAPO, something like that. And he tweets, let us never forget that it was the New York Times, or X, insert the name of the organization here, who brought the idea of the lab leak to the mainstream in the first place. And he cited an article from like 2 months ago. And I'm literally, first of all, there's a Live Science article, which, yeah, Live Science is not mainstream media, and it's not 100% super reliable anyway. But in March of 2020, they put out an article saying it's probably likely it came out from there. And now, Carr, to your point,
from China,
which you had made earlier, nobody knew where it came from. Nobody knew. Nobody had any evidence.
Trump
except
knew.
We did know.
Trump fucking
we did.
Knew.
Yeah, Trump knew. Trump knew. Trump was
China.
Aware the whole time. China. Yeah, he knew. And what Trump also knew, because he was a lab guy, was that you couldn't even fucking tie every first case to the meat market. So how could it have come from the meat market? It didn't. It didn't. It did not
Came
come
from
the meat market. Came from the Came Chinese lab. So what I responded to Iglesias was, Maddie, it would have taken half a fucking brain to figure that out. Like, the mainstream media didn't do a fucking thing. We all knew this.
Yeah.
We were all aware of this. Whole time.
And I don't even think that they were ever able to relegate the Wuhan lab thing to a usual position of conspiracy theory. It was always kind of just an open, not open secret, but open like thing that was just lurking around the room that they were not able to contain early. And so it just was an open conspiracy theory or an above board conspiracy theory.
And,
or something
and
like
now
that.
You're at the point where there are left center journalists like Josh Rogan, guy who used to write an opinion column for the Times, as far as I remember, who is doing this research. And he was shouted down months ago for doing it, because how dare you ask questions. And now everybody is rallying around his work, but not mentioning his name.
Stop Asian hate.
Stop it. Hashtag stop. If you play Apex Legends, apparently, if you play the video game Apex Legends, Stop Asian Hate is right at the front.
Is that
right at the front?
Is that why we started doing the Stop Asian Hate shit? In
no,
case
the
they
Stop
Asian able to contain.
Oh, I don't think
you
so.
Think
I think the Stop Asian.
It?
I think the Stop Asian Hate thing was more fear mongering in a racial sense, just the same way that every other group has been fear mongered against in a racial sense. But you may be right that there might have been some CCP influence. There was one man who did incredibly well during the COVID epidemic. I'm going to give each of you two chances to guess who that guy might be. You probably already know if you've looked at my thing well enough. But out of everybody who you've seen on TV, take a guess. Who's the guy who's doing the best? Aaron,
Xi
you first.
Xi Jinping.
American TV, because you're right, but American TV.
Oh, American TV?
Carr?
And what's the question?
Idea?
Anderson Cooper?
Who's doing the nicest? Who got away with the most? Who's doing the best? Who's like
Anderson Cooper?
Chilling.
Fauci?
Interesting. Interesting choice. I'll give you one. Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, right. Relatively done, yeah.
Because the guy got away with killing thousands of elderly people, and then he got to write it
arguably based.
Of course, because, well, here's the thing. The more old people that you end up killing, Fauci's argument continues to be dismantled because there's less of them.
Mm.
So maybe Fauci should be very careful with that argument. But let me get to my point of this. Governor Andrew Cuomo wrote a book about his leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Just unbelievable.
And for writing that book, Carr? He was given $5 million on the deal.
Quanto cuesta?
Someone calculated that's like $65,000 to every elderly victim that he killed.
Oh my god! Jeez.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So there you go. Hopefully he. Let me show you guys the bright side of this. He was sure to let everybody know that he was paid a $3.1 million advance. and a $2 million over the next 2 years, and some of the money was donated, and other monies will go towards his daughter's trust funds.
All right. See, it all works out. It's
good guy.
It all works out for the kid.
Right.
Good guy Cuomo.
All works
magnanimous and generous.
There's more on.
He's truly
COVID.
A man of the people.
A man of God.
Yep. A man of the cloth, like Carr.
Man of the cloth.
Yep,
man of the cloth.
Like me.
Man of the cloth. And I can't wait until he gets to meet his maker. On that note, COVID, we'll move away from COVID, but onto the. Yeah, I'll be a little bat. I'll fly into it. Put a little wing in his soup. One little wing in there. Move away from COVID towards the aftermath of COVID. Joblessness and remember we were all huxed into all these things by Dr. Fauci who told us to wear our masks and stay at home, even though now he's saying, well, anyway, American families, Joe Biden has announced, will start getting a monthly child tax credit in July. Families with children under six can receive $300, while those over six can receive $250.
Burr,
and I want to, but I want to point something out here. Joe Biden, there's a lot of things about Joe Biden that people really don't like. There was a video that went around of Joe Biden grasping his grandson's chin and top of his head from behind and slowly pulling him back and moving in to kiss him on the cheek during a funeral or something like that. And everybody went up in arms.
That's pretty par for the course, honestly.
Everybody blew that out of proportion. Everybody's grandfather acts like that. It's big patriarch energy. Fucking real. Everybody needs to calm down about that. Now, with that, and of course, the most curious thing about that is it is clearly a conservative value to have a patriarchal relationship with your grandkids. I don't know what else would be more conservative than everything flows through the oldest man in the family, which is clearly the case with Biden. But I'm not praising him too much here. I will, however, say this tax incentive promotes having more babies, which is something that I think will probably be very good for this country.
Yeah, probably.
Based.
And by the way, Matty Glacius, who I mentioned before, even though he's very left, his most controversial thing that he's pushing is that America needs to have a billion people in it. And so to be honest with you, giving tax credits for having kids, that's not a bad idea there. Not a bad idea.
BRP, having an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah, do it. Do it. You get your tax money. It's good to have more kids. Libs and antinatalists will convince you that it's a bad thing to have more kids. It's not. It's a great thing. Go have more kids and
get your
tax
credit.
Yeah, you
know what? My bank account will convince me that it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what you're going to do with that tax credit, right?
Crack.
You got to shuffle it out of
crack.
Well, you could. Yeah, maybe half crack. Half crack.
Now, if I smoke crack, will I have a crack baby?
Yeah.
Really?
If you smoke crack within 6 months of inseminating a woman, that baby will have a crack problem. Yes.
I don't think that's. See, we're talking about science that we don't like.
What's the denominator, Bird?
To ignore the science. Yeah. What's the denominator?
Let's all slow down on that.
I don't see any evidence to support. Everybody's in hysterics. Everyone's giving me pushback.
I just
want to smoke crack and have sex.
I'm very concerned about my image, Bird.
As a conservative man,
I just want to blow loads and smoke crack.
Crack and raise a goddamn family.
All right. Very good. We're not quite done yet, though. We're not quite done yet, because I'm going to take us completely off. I got an article here about Bill Gates, but I'm going to get rid of it because nobody gives a shit about that weirdo. Shorthand story. He had a lot of contacts with Jeffrey Epstein, and it was even seeking a way to help fund Jeffrey Epstein's law bills. Long and short. So that's that. But I want to get on to different topics here. Rumble in the Jungle. There was a very interesting article / study that came out recently from YouGov.com, very reliable source, YouGov.com. And what they basically did was calculate individuals, male and female, and their belief about what kind of animal they would best be able to take in a fight. So I'm going to just send you this in the Zencastr chat so that everybody's on the same page. You can see the chart. We'll go from the bottom to the top. So most people, 68% of women and 76% of men, believed they could easily kill a rat if they were unarmed. Women, what's going on, ladies? You can't do more than 68% on a rat? I mean, I guess they were like, I don't want to, it'd be gross. Fine. But we'll move up a little, and you're going to see of some... This is where gender disparity becomes extremely real here, okay? A goose. 51% of women said, I could fight a goose unarmed. 51%. Men, 71%. We are much more sure of ourselves. We could take that goose in a fight. If we keep going forward, another interesting statistical anomaly here. 8% on a king cobra for women... showing their intelligence there, and 15% for men on a king cobra. Guys, good luck. And finally, the most interesting statistical anomaly, well, there's a few. When you get up to the top here, it gets really absurd. First of all, 8% of women believe that they could beat a crocodile in an unarmed fight. That is the same percentage as women who think they can beat a king cobra, by the way. So there's a little bit of a statistical issue there. Someone is not thinking straight. Someone's not thinking straight.
I wonder
straight.
What the actually, implications looking, of like the evolutionary process is.
Yeah, right.
Look at all of the women. Look at all of the women's 8%ers.
Dude, yeah, there's got to be like some anthropological thing we can glean from this.
8% of women believe they can fight a king cobra, a crocodile, a gorilla, an elephant, and a lion. And in fact, more women believed they could defeat a lion in unarmed combat than a man. 8% to 7. What's going on? You know what, ladies? I give it to you. Give it a good shot. Now, the question, I'm going to read the names from bottom to top, least threatening to most threatening by statistic. And gentlemen, when I'm done with that, please tell me what the largest animal you think you could fight out of this list is. From bottom to top, a rat, a house cat, a goose, a medium-sized dog, an eagle, a large dog, a king cobra, a chimpanzee, a kangaroo, a wolf, a crocodile, a gorilla, an elephant, a lion, and a grizzly bear. To me, I could fuck up a kangaroo without problem, without any issue. You?
Dude,
I don't know if I could kill a kangaroo. Physically.
Well, you have to beat him in a fight. You don't even have to kill him. It just says beat him in a fight. And did you ever see that video of the dude rocking that red kangaroo in the face because it was attacking his dog?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a legendary
video. As far as
video.
A sustained physical altercation, I don't know.
Dude, I'm going to send you this car. It's 32 seconds. Okay. Guy punches Kang. Oh, it's a Facebook link? Oh, that's a weird one. But here you go.
Like, are we talking like we 100% know that we could like have a sustained physical altercations?
Yeah.
Beat it so that it runs away or
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
I've seen that video, yeah. And that kangaroo wasn't it was like he never expected.
Phased. Yeah, he walks away. He actually walks. He leaves. He leaves the. So basically, the kangaroo has the dog in a headlock. A man runs over. The kangaroo lets go of the dog, and he's like, "Oh, you're trying to get something?" And the dude squares up, punches him right in the face. The kangaroo, and the kangaroo just kind of like every human I've ever seen get punched in the face is standing up and going, "Did I just get punched in the face?" And then eventually he just leaves. He walks away.
That's
so
incredible.
I think I could fight one of them. Isn't that an incredible video? It's amazing.
That kangaroo is smaller than I envisioned.
Well, it's the size of a man.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
imagine
I always thought
walking
they were
up to a kangaroo your height.
Yeah, I think I could take that.
Yeah, a kangaroo. I think that's maximum because beyond that are things with teeth, and there's no
fucking
way.
I think the teeth is a it, like
what about
bludgeoning.
A large dog?
I don't think I could take a large dog. No.
Yeah,
man.
You can. You need to watch more videos of dudes.
No, here's
like
where
a
I need
pit bull.
To test your
They're
intelligence.
Bitches. Dude, police
here's
dogs
where I need
are
to
bitches.
Test your intelligence.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but those are what those are those are those are Ugh.
No fucking dude. Not one human being could fight a chimpanzee. Not one living human being. Not big, but they are like 5 to 6 times stronger than the average person.
Is that right?
And they're
And so now imagine a now big chimp silverback or whatever they call them, leader of the chimp pack. Like imagine a motherfucker like that, like one of those guys from that movie with James Franco in it, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Imagine one of those motherfuckers. You trying to square up with them? No chance. Not a chance. There was a whole movie about what happens when humans and chimps go to war, and it doesn't end well for us. Especially not now that they're adding human-chimp hybrids to the situation.
Yeah, chimeras.
These things are like 100 pounds.
What? A chimp?
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the... all right. Now, do me a favor, Carl. Google two chimps fighting. Watch Google two chimps fighting.
Okay.
And watch the sheer ferocity play that the audio. Those creatures fight with. Please do that. Our listeners, I will bet not one of our listeners would be able to defeat a crocodile in a fight. I'm very
confident. Fuck that. Yeah, no.
That is the end of the conversation there.
Unless you can get a hold of its mouth and close it shut. The muscles for opening an alligator in a crocodile's mouth are super fucking weak.
Aaron, have you ever seen an alligator do a death roll?
Yeah, but it has to get you first.
No, it doesn't. It kick you right off.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I'll fuck up a crocodile.
Jesus. Dude, you're a maniac.
If you go up from behind on a crocodile and you put... name the closest pistol to you in caliber.
A 9mm.
If you put that gun within decent range of the back of an alligator's head... I'm not even sure that bullet would penetrate. So your fists aren't doing a fucking thing.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how I disable the crocodile.
Yeah, you have to
get its mouth shut. No, you just wrap your hands around its mouth.
Then what?
Around its closed mouth.
Here's what you do. Let's apply some Nietzschean theory to this. If you can't defeat someone stronger than you, then you have to put it in a slave master mentality. So what you have to do is you have to tell the alligator, really, we're better than it. You have to provoke it to fight. Then you can tire it out, maybe. Over time, it'll get weak because, you know, it'll start thinking, I got to prove myself to this fucking human.
Oh, yeah, their metabolism's terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, that one thing that people always said you can't do.
They're not built for sustained fights.
No, or running. Everybody says you can't outrun an alligator, so run in a zigzag. Whoever came up with that was the guy who was trying to convince his friend to run slower so that he would get eaten. For sure. Because you could easily just straight up bolt away from an alligator if you had to run. These are all...
I don't know.
Anyway, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is to close today. We talked a lot about politicians and how bad they are. But there's a good politician in this world somewhere. And his name is John Cox, a California politician who has a pet bear named Tag, who brings his pet bear to every single campaign that he goes to. The animal is 900 pounds. He has, on recent occasions, the bear, has been filmed wrestling Jason Momoa on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And now he accompanies Representative John Cox, who is running to replace Gavin Newsom as California governor, and the same election with Caitlyn Jenner, by the way, and Randy Quaid. They're all running. Mariah Carey as well. Oh, no. Mary Carey.
Wow.
That's right. Mary Carey is running, not Mariah. Mary Carey. And so the bear... is meant to represent being a beast. I swear to God. So the guy's whole campaign idea is that he's bringing the beast back to California. That's the whole idea. Is he's going around with a trained pet bear, and the whole point of the pet bear is that he's supposed to represent the beast. I don't know what the beast is, but I like this guy.
Oh, you should have the sidewalk beast.
Oh my God, dude.
Look at the size of the fucking thing. It's tremendous. So he's got this whole thing.
You just shot up a bunch of H beast. In San Francisco? Beast.
Go on your Twitter right now. Go on your Twitter right now, and you can search at Beast John Cox. Beast,
dude, guys, I got sidetracked.
Are you
got sidetracked? you told me to do the YouTube chimpanzee fighting, but I found chimps first raccoon. I am blown the fuck away at so many ridiculous parts of this video. There's one part where the chimp throws this and it's spinning horizontally like a frisbee across the zoo enclosure.
He throws a raccoon?
Dude, I gotta hold
on. Yeah, a raccoon gets trapped in the chimp enclosure and the chimp fucks it up.
Yeah, but the raccoon's fine. It's kind of sad. Which is insane.
Oh, yeah, they can take a beating, but... Still, dude, it's like, ugh.
Holy shit. Hold on, how do I
show so fucking wild. So now, imagine if that chimp, no doubt, could probably do the same thing to you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They're just not, I'm not.
This if is you probably... had some jujitsu training, I wonder if you had some jujitsu training, if you could be better at fighting a chimp. Because if you start putting, like, locks on a chimp, it doesn't know how to stop that, break a chimp leg, kinda... it's done.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm...
The problem is, the thing is going to be throwing haymakers at your face while you're doing that, and it has long arms. They got very long arms.
Yeah, they do have really fucking long arms.
And the problem is, unlike with humans, no matter how far you extend your arm, if you're, like, straight up, you can never reach your feet. I'm pretty sure standing straight up, a chimp can reach its feet, which means no matter where you are grappling that chimp, it can hit you, which really sucks. So I would avoid chimping... I would avoid fighting the chimps. Okay, chimping with the chimps. I would avoid that, boys.
Dude, I just can't believe this thing just got frisbee.
Don't chimp out at chimps.
Well,
and
well,
then
here's what
got
we'll do.
Up.
Here's what we'll do. We'll end the episode here. Go over for an Over the Line episode with Carr, Steppy, and myself, where, frankly, I don't even remember what we talked about other than, like, mouth noises and the Mujahideen. But that was fun. And beyond that, I do just want to do an announcement we've made for 2 weeks now. We're still going to keep going. We are retiring from podcasting. We're looking to outsource.
Please.
We're looking to get people to keep the TLE show going without any of our fans really noticing because we don't want to upset anybody. And so what we need are good impressionists. We need an impressionist for Carr, myself, and Aaron. So to do that, we need you to participate in a contest where we will pick one winner each. And you will win TLE merchandise if you are the best and funniest impersonator of one of the three of us. Pick who you want to impersonate. Let us know who it is, because if it's really bad, we might not be able to tell. The best clips we find, we will air on an episode of TLE. We will select live our favorite, and the winners will be contacted and given their prizes. Okay, everybody? Send them to our emails. You can find our emails pretty much everywhere. Send it to bird at TLE. No, sorry, bird at timelineearth.org. All the clips. I don't care. Send them all over. However you want. Send them all over.
Very good.
That was a good one, boys. I think we got them to the news today.
Ooh, I just can I put something DM'd out? That, yeah.
So this Friday, we have a new episode of Boys Town with Aaron. And I have two very special guests. We got Steppy, who, when I recorded with him, I was a few beers deep. And he asked me a question that just destroyed me, like just broke my brain, and it's still breaking my brain even when all I've had is crack, which doesn't really count.
No, that
and
usually
then
helps
I also
your cognitive
have
function.
Yeah, I also have Roth Birdian, who I had a very interesting conversation with about, you know, trying to apply some of the thoughts of Lenin to current day, and
she is
you know,
Russian,
about,
right?
She is, yeah. She is a Russian. So she initially went into it not very comfortable. But of course, I just steamrolled her right through.
Of course, right.
Yeah. And it ended up being a good time.
Of course. Good. Yeah, Aaron, see, deep down, you're a real gentleman. It's just really deep down, like really deep,
very
like really far.
Far.
No
like
means
really far
just try harder.
Just right.
She said, right. you know what? I really don't want to do this. I'm not comfortable. All right, we'll end it there.
All right. Until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.